This is Rating Descending,
where we watch IMDb's Worst 250 so you don't have to.
My name is Abigail Ward.
And I'm Michelle St. Clair.
And tonight we watched Swept Away. A snooty socialite is stranded on a Mediterranean island with a communist sailor.
What?
Let's watch.
Yeah. Well, Abby, look, I'm looking for... It's your episode. I've been having troubles with my sleep. I've been having troubles with headaches. I've been feeling like shit recently. So I'm keen to just lean back as if I too am on a Mediterranean beach.
Ooh.
And just let the breezy Abby take me away. What the fuck?
That's the cruise ship you're on.
I never said I was on a cruise ship.
Ahoy, folks. You're on Abigail's Cruise Spectacular.
God.
Today, we are sailing out to Vanuatu. It is a nine-day voyage.
It's not
voyage.
The Mediterranean, by the way.
It is a 130-day voyage down to Vanuatu from the Mediterranean.
Why did we start in the Mediterranean? We live in Australia. We're way closer to Vanuatu.
Well, you said we're in the Mediterranean, so that's where we're heading up from.
Come on,
sit back and relax.
Just starting to relax.
Have a pina colada.
Captain,
everything's fine, except for the massive tornado that's right up ahead. We will be passing through that general region, but let's just have our fingers and toes crossed.
Cap, oh my Jesus. Hey, Cap. Cap. Yeah.
What are you... You cannot be in this in the captain's quarters.
No, I just listen. I may just be a humble girl from Melbourne, Australia.
What are you doing in the Mediterranean?
I'm on holiday.
Wow.
Man, I was resting. I was relaxing on a beach when suddenly from underneath me, whoo, your cruise ship appears. All right, now I'm here.
Well, that explains it, because this 135-day cruise to Vanuatu from the Mediterranean is not a holiday.
I know.
It's a trial.
Well, that makes sense. A cruise ship is my idea of a road of trials, okay?
You're basically on Survivor.
Yeah.
Where you have to outwit, outplay, and outlast.
I'm stuck with a bunch of people I don't care for,
uh-huh.
Where the only entertainment is like mild hotel entertainment, stuck in the sun while loud noises. It's
bingo
terrible.
Every night.
Every night. I can't do it. I can't. You know what I hate about bingo?
Mm.
The fucking bingo markers, the like paint markers, they look all gooey. They never seem to fit in the box properly. They're awful.
Gooey
terrible.
Paint markers.
Yeah, they're terrible. They're so leaky. They're just use a pen right next.
Have you been on a cruise?
Yeah, once.
I've never been on a cruise. And I would never. The only cruise I would ever think about taking is there's like a 2-day one from Sydney to Melbourne. So if I was ever going back home from Sydney, maybe I'd take it for the joy, for the thrill.
Yeah.
But the reason I like it is that you can see the headland of like the shore of the East Coast. And that way I don't feel like if the boat did Poseidon on us, which now I'm using as a verb.
Yeah.
If it did Poseidon or Titanic on us, at least I could swim to shore. I'm a strong swimmer, but I hate not having a thing to swim towards.
Well, see, I went on a cruise once when I was very young. My mum used to like entering in competitions and stuff, and so she won some tickets for a cruise. It was like 4 days. Fucking hated it.
Yeah, I can
fucking
imagine.
Hated it.
I can imagine. I
couldn't swim at that point. I couldn't swim until I was 17.
I feel like when I was like 17, all of my mum's extended family went on a cruise for like 9 days.
Wow.
And my mum was like, we are not going.
No.
I do not want to spend 9 days with my family. And I was like, thank you, Mom.
The only thing available for me to do in a cruise is stuff like read a book, listen to
stuff you
to
just
music.
Do on land.
I could just do that on land.
That's the thing. It's like when you're on a cruise, you're just experiencing things that you would normally do on land with less variety, with like overhyped like prices, like they price gouge you. And then I just have to look at water, which is like my least favorite thing to look at.
Terrible.
It is like,
View. It's a view of nothing.
It's
a screensaver in real life.
I don't mind a body of water with some mountains on the other side.
Ooh,
that's nice.
Gorgeous.
I like seeing land, you know? But when it's just flat horizons and water around me every side, I fucking hate that.
Yeah,
that's a nightmare.
You know what I don't understand? When cruises have a pool on them.
Yeah.
Why did you built land to move around on water and then you put more water on it? Just go to a beach, bro.
Yeah.
What are you doing?
They should make like a giant net at the back of the cruise and then everyone swims in the net.
Oh, there's a lot of reasons they shouldn't do that.
And if you drag behind, the net will sweep you up.
That's
you're all swimming and then you've got, if you fall behind, you've got a personal, you know, when you're like cleaning a pool and you've got those nets on a stick.
Oh yeah, sure.
Like eight people hold up a giant net with a stick, like stick with a net, and then they scoop you up, you what? Know, if you fall behind.
Oh, sorry, yeah.
That's the service we're offering on our 135 Vanuatu cruise.
How high do you think a cruise ship is?
Like 3 meters.
Okay. Yeah. Sure, then your net thing will totally work. Can't argue with that.
They are really big, aren't they?
Yeah, if you fall off, you're
dead.
We talked about this on Speed 2 Cruise Control.
They're so scary.
Yeah, if you cruises fall off, you're probably a bit minimum not conscious because fucking thwack.
Ships are romantic to me.
Then you're gone.
But I don't like being near them. You know?
Yeah.
Like, I love a ship. I love
a pirate-y sort of ship, like a wooden ship.
Lots of different kinds of ships. Industrial ships. Ugh. Like steamships.
Like a Panamax cargo ship.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I love them.
What's
on the horizon.
What's romantic about it?
They're beautiful. It's like old industry.
I watched Captain Phillip. It's not old. It's current industry.
Yeah, but like some of the older steamers are like old industry. When they're leaving Sydney Harbour, I'm like, I feel like I'm in the 1940s. I hate that.
They're just a big rectangle.
No, the older ones are like beautiful and they're like, you know, they've got like wrought iron on them. They're quite pretty. I like old industry.
I feel like I can't. Yeah, I know you do. Yeah. We talked about this last week. This is some of the twee bullshit that you're into.
But what I love all sorts of ships. Like I was playing that game, John Company.
Yes.
Which is really fun. And there are different ships that you can have. And I just wanted to play as a ship master during the game because I wanted to collect all the ships and put them out on the sea.
Sure.
Didn't pay off. It was actually really catastrophic at the beginning for me. They were like, we don't need ships where our company's about to fold. And I was like, more ships, baby. But ships are romantic to me. But when I go near them, panic attack.
Yeah.
No, thank you.
I don't want to get on it.
No.
Yeah.
Not at all.
We have not mastered the sea yet.
Yeah. Guys, believe it or not, people as neurotic as us do not like the open ocean.
No.
No.
No. I barely like the open country.
I feel like most people look at the ocean and when they're well adjusted, they're like, how calm, how peaceful, how beautiful. And when we look at it, we're like, that will swallow me.
Yeah.
It's all negative.
A terrifying, horrifying mistress that beckons us to our doom.
Yeah.
That is what the sea is. See, that's the thing. I listen to old pirate text when I want to get understanding of the sea. Not this modern, like, ooh, look at the beautiful waves crashing. No, that is cruel and uncaring.
Mm. So will you be joining us tonight for bingo on our 135-day cruise to Vanuatu?
I'll be scowling in my room all night.
Well, it's going to be a long 4 months for you.
I didn't sign up for it. All right?
No one does.
I'm stoned. Oh,
no
wait.
One does.
Wait, so no one on here chose to be on here?
Ah!
So what you're saying is that there's many people who are disgruntled on this boat.
Mm-hmm.
All right, I've got some planning
wait,
to
hang
do.
Wait, hang on. No, I didn't
guys,
say I don't mean that.
How about a little change of leadership?
Turns out this ship that I'm sailing is called the Bounty.
Oh, like the chocolate bar?
Like the Mutiny on the Bounty.
What's the Mutiny on the Bounty?
Fuck Michelle.
What?
Fuck Michelle.
There's many mutinies.
Mutiny on the Bounty
bounties.
Is incredibly famous.
What is it?
It's the very famous Australian mutiny against Captain Bligh. There was a Marlon Brando film about it.
When?
In the 60s. Really bad. Panned. Should be on the list.
I know I like bad movies, but I feel like I'm okay for not knowing that one.
I talked about it during The Island of Dr. Moreau. Clearly, okay. You're not paying attention. 3 years
Wasn't
ago.
That 3 years ago?
Clearly, you're not paying attention.
Pick it up.
Come on.
I just...
Where's that recall?
I can't explain how much of an Abby moment it is for you to go like, it's so famous. The famous Australian mutiny?
It's just, it is, the it truly is bounty? Probably like the most, one of the most known bits of Australian history.
Is
you're
it?
Just a heathen.
I'm just sorry.
A pleb.
You're right. A God-fearing Australian would know about the mutiny.
That's
on the
right. A colonial lover like myself.
I assumed the Mutiny on the Bounty was when we all stormed the gates of Cadbury Limited so that we could make sure that they make more Bounty. I think Bounty is an underrated chocolate bar.
We freed the Bounty.
We freed
like a huge wave of caramel.
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 There's.
Sorry, that's how we say it in the Cadbury factory.
It wasn't the pronunciation, it was the presence of caramel.
Is there not caramel and bounties?
Is it not chocolate and coconut? It's a bounty.
Oh, I'm thinking of Twix.
You fuck.
You speaking fuck. Of fuck.
It's all about Twix with you.
This week we watched Swept Away.
Yeah, we did.
Woohoo! What did you think?
I feel like I had two main thoughts. I can't think of a movie less suited to Guy Ritchie's particular proclivities.
I know. I would never have watched this, and if someone was like, guess who directed it, Guy Ritchie would be bottom of my list.
Bottom of the list.
Where does it fit in the Guy Ritchie universe?
Not a single gangster going, oi, mate. You know? And then number two, this movie is 80% crossfade.
Yeah. I kind of loved it.
What?
I kind of did. It's okay. Look, I thought it was like, there were bits of it that I thought were like trying to be charming, so I appreciated it.
Certainly it was trying to be charming.
And I, you know what? I think that
it was well lit.
People hated this film. Honestly, my take is that people hated this film because of Madonna.
Sure.
And I feel like it's not fair because I don't feel like Madonna's not a great actress, but she's not that bad. And she was good in Evita. I thought she was good in Evita.
It's just I think when I watch a movie, I want them to be better than not that bad.
Yeah, but I mean, when hang on. We're existing in this list.
Sure.
For us, if they're not that bad, that's like incredible. That's not the, we're not in the normal scale.
Like how I rated Cat in the Hat.
Well, Cat in the Hat's incredibly good. It's like quality cinema.
I don't know why I did this.
I don't know why you opened this self-flagellation fucking can of worms again. It's like masochistic is what it is.
Every time you readdress it,
you know I'm going to start lashing every time.
I'm so sorry.
You're baiting me. It's like a manipulative. That's what it is.
It's not.
Sorry.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Ooh.
God, but she's not difficult. That bad, you know? And, you know, I liked Madonna.
I've seen worse actresses.
And I liked Madonna in A League of Their Own. She wasn't best.
That's right. She wasn't.
But she wasn't bad. She was kind of fun.
Yeah, well, because she's kind of shunted into a corner.
Shunted into a corner.
Well, yeah, because in that movie, she's like the eighth most important of them.
But she's like third build. Maybe second build.
And that's where you best utilize Madonna as an actress.
Yeah, she didn't need to be the lead. She wouldn't have been a good lead. But she played a really fun... Like, what's it? All the Way May is her character's name.
Yeah, that's right. Whereas this is a movie that has Jeannie Triplehorn and Elizabeth Banks as the other two women in it. And Madonna's the one with top billing who's there the whole time. There's a scene where she sings, except it doesn't sound like Madonna singing either in real life, quote unquote, where she's singing badly or when it then turns into a dream song. She's not even singing in the singing bit of the movie.
I mean, I think it's Madonna singing.
When?
I think it's her voice. They wouldn't have used a different voice.
It
that
doesn't
would be
sound
ridiculous.
Anything like Madonna.
I think she just did a different kind of voice.
It's your episode. Look.
I mean, I didn't read look, that anyone.
Look it up.
I'm pretty sure it's her, Michelle.
Look it up.
All right. If you want to stunt the rhythm and flow of this episode.
You do this every week when it's my episode.
Really you're just go, shooting us in the foot here. You know, the swept away.
You know what I'm shooting in the foot? Your ignorance.
IMDb.
Why don't you know the answers to my questions?
Stop pointing at me. Very rude.
I do love a good point.
Yeah, it was Madonna.
Really?
Yep.
It didn't sound anything like Madonna.
I know. The film was the song was called Come On A My House by Madonna. And the official music video just has clips of the film.
Huh.
Come On A My House.
I'd like you to come on my house.
That's right. But
what does that even mean?
Anyway, that's my take. I think people just want to hate Madonna.
Yeah.
And I don't think that's very fair.
Yeah. Whereas my problems, you know, as much as I was just yelling, Madonna was not my least favorite part of the movie. It was maybe all the other bits.
Right.
Like the script and the direction and how I felt while watching it and the experience of watching it and the score and, you know, really everything. It was lit well, but it's also shot in Greece. That's kind of an easy gimme.
Yeah. Look, it was very pretty because it was shot in Greece. Yeah. And look, I loved the crossfades. And I actually thought there were bits that were charming. Like one minute
montages every 5 minutes.
I loved it. I thought it was so silly and camp.
It was silly and camp.
And I'm all about that. As long as it's not boring, I'm happy.
You know, half of my notes are me going, I can't wait for the movie to start. Oh, is the movie about to start?
They get stuck on the island half an hour in. You know, isn't that good?
For like an 80-minute movie? No.
It's terrible.
It takes forever.
It really does. Well, let me just jump into some of the key details and then the overview so we can talk more about it.
Yeah.
So, guys, this film was written and directed by Guy Ritchie.
Wow.
Have you heard of him?
Yeah.
The budget of this film was $10 million.
What did they spend it on? Madonna?
Probably.
Because most of it is two people on an island.
Yeah.
I guess just getting everyone to the island. Shooting in sand is expensive.
Boat.
Boat. Oh, fuck. You're so right.
Did you guys remember Boat?
God, I did. I forgot Boat.
$8 million boat.
$8 million. Oh, they bought that boat.
How much do you think it made?
I think it made $4 million.
$1 million.
Oh, my God.
That is so bad. Considering it was like Guy Ritchie's, is it like straight after Snatch? I think it would be.
Straight after Snatch.
Yeah.
No, I think Revolver technically came out before, didn't it?
What? Let's find out.
But Revolver, I'm pretty sure even
Revolver was 2005. This was 2002.
Oh my God, they let him make Revolver. Because Revolver feels very much like we are letting this director do whatever they want. They let him make Revolver after this.
Yeah. I guess Snatch was that good. and Lockstock.
And to be fair, Snatch is that good.
Snatch is really good.
He's never made a movie that even touches Lockstock, let alone Snatch.
Mm. This film was based on a different film. It was a remake.
Really?
It was based on...
Castaway.
1974 Italian romantic adventure comedy drama called Swept Away... by an unusual destiny in the blue sea of August. And you everyone just called it Swept Away.
Yeah, you know what? I think actually that's a good punch up, is to just call it Swept Away.
By an unusual destiny in the blue sea of August. That film... Here's what I love. It was written and directed by a woman called Lena Wertmüller.
A woman? Who let her do that?
Wertmüller. I know. And she, I was looking her up. She sounds like fucking sick. She just sounded really interesting, really just like kind of just like self-obsessed in the best way a woman should be in the 70s.
Yeah.
And apparently Fellini was her mentor.
Oh,
so
right,
I think that's what kind of gave her that foot in. But she just looks like a sick bitch. I love her.
Hell yeah.
But the initial film in 1974 starred a man called Giancarlo Giannini.
Ah.
And Giancarlo Giannini had a son called Adriano Giannini. And Adriano Giannini was the lead in this film.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Wow. So the son,
Adriano, played the lead.
That's very good. Plays Mr. Esposito. Incredible that it was just last week that I was screaming about the correct pronunciation for that.
But then she kept calling him Pepe.
Because his name was Giuseppe, and he was like, people call me Pepe. Yeah. And so then she kept going pee-pee.
Yeah.
She also is the for 2002, she's quite racist to Italians.
She really is. Like, they've assimilated.
I know.
They fully assimilated.
She's using terms that I had never even heard of. I'm like, holy shit.
And this film obviously starred Madonna, Adriano Giannini, with a supporting cast featuring Bruce Greenwood as Madonna's husband, Gene Triplehorn, and...
She's great in Waterworld.
Yeah, and she was in Basic Instinct. The woman that got raped.
Yeah.
That was weird.
She's also in a single episode of New Girl, and she's pretty good in that too.
And it also starred Elizabeth Banks, who was really bad. Like, I thought Elizabeth Banks was like standout bad in this.
Yeah, but I feel like she's given like a shtick that isn't very funny.
Well, that's the thing. I mean, if you're given a bad script, it's hard to make it good.
And I don't know, it's 2002. Maybe she wasn't good yet.
I know, she was just a baby. Look, I don't hold it against her, you know? Here's the overview.
You got this.
Thank you. Amber is a spoiled wife of a millionaire who joins two other couples on a private cruise from Italy to Greece, or from Italy to Vanuatu.
No.
Amber berates Giuseppe, a deckhand, and insults him mercilessly throughout the trip. Just hates him.
Yeah.
While they're out on a dinghy, Amber damages the small boat and they end up washing ashore on a deserted island. On the island, Giuseppe gains the upper hand in their interactions due to his survival skills. Giuseppe becomes more dominant in his treatment of Amber, while she concurrently becomes more submissive and cowering. Mm. Their relationship evolves into intimacy. Amber becomes very happy on the island with Giuseppe. When she notices a boat anchored in the bay, she hides to avoid having to leave. The couple are rescued and return to their normal lives. Giuseppe attempts to reach out to Amber to rekindle their relationship, but his messages receive no reply. However, it is revealed at the end that his letters have been intercepted by Amber's wealthy husband, who ensures that Amber never sees them or Giuseppe ever again. The end. It's a tragedy.
It is a pretty tragic ending.
It is. I didn't expect them to not end up together.
The real tragedy I felt about the ending was how long it took.
It wasn't a very long film.
No, it wasn't.
They got rescued. They weren't on the island for very long.
They were not.
Here's the thing. When it evolves into intimacy, the only reason that I wasn't like, this is creepy as, because there's this bit where essentially he slaps the shit out of her.
Yeah.
He like basically asserts dominance by beating her.
Yeah, when you said that it's a movie from based on a movie from the 50s, I'm like, that has to be where they're pulling some from of the these 70s. Bits from the 70s.
And it's an Italian movie.
Well, it's Italian. That's like 50s everywhere else.
I know. So that's when beating women was normal.
Yeah, yeah. Because as well, like she at one point calls him a hairy black midget, which yeah. is fucking insane.
Yeah. Yeah, it was a weird bit.
It's just, so, yeah, between that and the beating the shit out of her, I'm like, was this just okay in the 70s movie? Know. Or did Guy Ritchie add this? Like,
it what did is feel this? Very 70s Italian cinema in the bit that I'm about to describe, where yeah. finally they fight and then they have this big long running scene, which I actually thought was comically long. Like, it was yeah. so silent and they were just tripping each other over for like a full minute and a half.
It was like kind of almost good and then it just kept going scattered way.
And then he kind of pins her down and like he actually...
Trigger warning,
yeah,
by the way.
Yeah, he tugs her pants off and he pins her down. And then it's basically as if he's going to rape her.
Yeah.
But then he's like, you have to say you want me. Do you say yes? Do you say yes? And she's like, I say yes. And then he's like, well, no. You say yes and now I say no. And they don't have sex. And it's him asserting dominance in a different way.
It's so weird.
It's really creepy.
It's so weird.
The only thing that at least saved it is the fact that they established before they got cast away that she was attracted to him. There's yeah. that weird scene where they're in a hallway and she's like drunk and flirting with him.
Yeah.
Because she's secretly really into him.
Yeah.
And he's kind of into her. So at least there was that to yeah. be like, is consent? It was a lot of blurred lines that I wasn't comfortable with. Yeah.
No.
It wasn't romantic to me.
What the fuck? No, it certainly wasn't romantic. Jesus Christ.
Well, that's the thing. The film, they want it to be romantic.
I know, it's insane. Like, that alone is why I think it kind of deserves to be on the list.
I know.
It's like, isn't that sweet?
And then, like, when they do become intimate, they're like on the island together and she's basically sad, being like, when we get back to the real world, you won't want me anymore. And he's like, all these women, all I want to be is thinner and younger and blah, blah, blah. And I was like, fuck, why are you so angry at women for being fucking systematically oppressed, bro?
He's Italian.
Hate it.
Yeah, no, it was fucking like, it's that thing where you're like, in the first 30 minutes of the movie, she's the biggest cunt in the world.
She's so
in the Australian
mean.
Sense, not the American sense, you know.
She's awful to him. And it doesn't make sense. It's awful. Almost unbelievable, like, she's antagonizing him. But I think the implication is that she was antagonizing him in particular because she found him attractive.
Well, also, I think it's just this movie has
she wasn't like that to anyone else.
I know, but also the movie's trying to make statements on wealth that it also doesn't want to bother to make.
Yeah, there's
or
this bit where he's
on.
Like, you were horrible to me. And she's like, well, maybe I wasn't very happy. And I was like, bitch, you were the wife of a millionaire. Like, your life was fine. You were on a boat in fucking Italy.
And it's like,
shut up.
I get that, like, you can be in that position and still upset, but also you're being a bad person, obnoxiously so.
Most people, when they're upset and going through something, don't still take it out on, like, wait stuff.
Yeah, you know? And he was, like, trying to, once he's on the island, like, making statements about capitalism in general and trying to turn, because, you know... Because her husband is kind of immoral, and there was also the bit that one of the only bits that it approached poignancy is when, you know, he orders her to go get some water, and then she's like, can't I have some food first? And he's like, does your husband let people have the drugs before they pay for them and stuff? And I was like, aye. Yeah. But then it's like, it just turns into him being an absolute fucking monster to her as well.
Yeah.
What is your point
here? What are you getting at?
Where are you going with this?
Do you remember that bit? There's this bit at the beginning of the film where they're on the boat and she's riding a bike because she's a fitness freak, clearly. Yeah. And, like, I love how many shots there are of, like, Madonna's fucking biceps.
I was going to say, do you think
she's
they did
so
that?
Toned.
Because I remember, I had a flashback when I was a kid of discussion around Madonna's arms. Just, like, dudes being like, if you like Madonna, you're gay because she has biceps. Or stupid shit like that. Just absolute gibberish.
Yeah.
And when I saw how much they were fixating on her, like, being into fitness, I'm like, is this to explain why she looks like that?
I think it's just...
Because it can just be part of it, but movies
I don't think it's to explain
sometimes.
Why she looks like
I
that.
I hope not.
Because, I mean, that's Guy Ritchie's her husband. He must love it about her and just be like, she's hot. Like,
yeah.
I want to show off my wife.
It's also really funny to cast your wife in a movie and then make her just the
biggest
bitch in the world.
Well, she's, like, on this bike and she's pedaling manically while she's talking. And then they're talking about, like, blind people and, like, why blind people should have to pay for, like, the, you know, like, for the drugs to help them, but also why they basically should be disadvantaged.
Yeah.
And there's this bit where she's like, why can't they just go, you know, get a job? And then this guy's like, the guy on a boat that's a friend is just like, they're blind. Like, I thought that was really funny. I thought that was like funny. A fun conversation where she's like, what, they can't like bake a cake? Like, it was a silly, semi-stagnant film, but there were a couple of scenes that I thought were memorable.
It's bereft of plot. It is a crossfade in search of a plot.
But yeah, no, I think, I didn't know that so many people talked about Madonna's arms. Why are women's bodies so scrutinized?
Oh, I don't know, man.
Like, she's fit. She's really fit, and that's still bad. It's like they only want women to be one certain way.
I don't fucking get it. I will say, which is, by the way, it's the good thing of, like, the queer renaissance we're having at the moment, you know? Like, now when women are looking fit, there's just many other women thirsting over them. And I'm like, great, this can hopefully make up on some level for it.
Mm.
I will say another really great catty line from the opening 30 was when, like, they all jump in the water and stuff, and then she's not going to get in the water and stuff, and she's, like, asking how it is. And then Jean Triplehorn in particular is like, oh, don't bother, it's really wet in here.
Yeah, it's really like, wet.
It's really wet. I'm like, that's funny. Yeah. That's a good little catty line.
Yeah, there are a couple of good lines. There's this bit where Jean Triplehorn says something and then Madonna's like, oh, shut up, you old alcoholic. Like, it's just, there are a couple of lines that I thought were fun.
Yeah.
Okay. And I also thought that Adriano Giannini as Giuseppe was very, like, charismatic. Like, he wasn't great in this film, but I really liked him as an actor, you know?
Yeah, I'm
like pulling too much out of this film. My standards are low, aren't they?
I mean, yeah, but I do think he was charismatic. I'm trying to separate in my brain the fact that by the end of the movie, I fucking hated him from the fact that he was
fucking evil.
Yeah,
you like him at the beginning because he's getting mistreated, and it's him being like, I cannot stand this woman. I cannot stand her. What do I do? You know, and he's like really sweet. And there's a bit where he has a fantasy about dumping fish over her head and then kicking her into the ocean. That was fun.
But then he spends 40 minutes forcing her to call him master, and it was really weird, including a bit where he forces her to sing and dance, and then it goes into the dream sequence where she's singing the song and he's like so fucking horny that his cigar in his mouth is exploding and he's like, oh my fuck, I'm gonna fucking nut.
After the bit where he almost rapes her and he's like, I will be your god, she comes back and she just slowly starts kissing his feet and kissing his knees and his hands, and it turns into like a lovemaking scene, and you're like,
so weird.
So many weird emotions.
So like, what do you do? On the one hand, I almost want an explanation, but on the other hand, I'm like, I don't want anyone to explain why they made this. You know what I mean?
No one. Yeah. Why did Guy Ritchie decide to remake that 1974 film, which, by the way, was really well received? Roger Ebert himself said that, like, that original film was like captivating, engaging, astounding. He gave it 4 out of 4 stars. So what possessed Guy Ritchie to think, I'd have a better take on that, I could redo it?
Yeah, I don't know.
Well, no one needed it 28 years later. Sorry. There was no climate for it.
Especially because I don't know what he's trying to say with it. Like, in the back half, where he keeps not having a subtext. There's a point where she literally is just like, well, maybe what I had wasn't what I needed.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which was crazy. And then, like, a scene or two later.
Yeah, why wasn't there someone being like, hey, Guy, what if she didn't say that, but we felt it as the audience?
What if...
What?
Hey, Guy, you know, sometimes the line, if they don't say it, you can communicate it with your camera instead of just having mid shots of everyone.
With subtext.
Yeah.
With dialogue that uses subtext.
You know, Guy Ritchie, you know, Guy, hey.
Hey, Guy.
I call you Guy, right? Yeah. You know, sometimes you can, you're in Greece, you're on a deserted island, you're all shooting. It's sort of dialogue heavily, but they're doing actions and stuff. You can use a shot that isn't just like a generic mid shot or a two shot, right?
What?
Yeah, like you could like move the camera. You were doing it earlier in the movie.
Oh, blimey. Oh, I didn't know that.
You love moving the camera.
Oh, mate.
You love doing
that. Well, I'm not in London anymore.
That's
true. So better play it safe, eh?
No, I
we've only got 10 million pounds.
Now, what we love about you... Now, I think it was 10 million USD. I don't know how many pounds...
It did not specify.
Yeah, but it usually is USD.
It usually is. But it was a British film.
Guy, you should know how much the budget of this movie is.
I was soused half the time looking at Madonna's biceps.
That does make sense. That
Me
does
and her
sense.
Did not work out.
No,
she took all of our adopted children.
Really?
I don't know. Speculative.
That's terrible. That's terrible, Guy. I'm so sorry to hear about
that. It was
that.
A bit of a bother.
Yeah.
And then I made Rock and Roller.
Yeah, you did. You did. And that was pretty good.
Wasn't my best work.
No, but we're still in the middle of making Swept Away.
Oh, are we now?
Yeah.
That, all that's right. Where the Let scene me rewind. Began.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
Hello.
I don't even know how you know all of this is about
I'm
to happen.
I'm prophetic. No, sorry. Pathetic. That's what Madonna always said.
Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah. That makes sense.
She still says
that. She says that. That she says that it makes sense. It's not something I think as your first AD, I guess.
All right.
I just...
Blimey. Core blimey.
Yeah, yeah. Classic Cockney nut job, Guy Ritchie.
Did you like Snatch?
Yeah, I love Snatch. We all love Snatch, right, guys? Yeah!
The truth is, I don't know what I was doing. It just worked out twice for me.
I've read the writing to the script of Snatch, and it's literally two pages of him going, after I made Lockstock, everyone went, oh, he just lucked into that. It was just a fucking accident. No one believed me. They were all making fun of me on the set, and I always knew, I know what I'm doing. Well, I sure showed them, didn't I? I've never read a more, like, angry and upset at that no one believed in him.
What's wrong with me writing that, then? I had a reason to write that.
No, sure. And Snatch was great. A landmark movie. For this movie, maybe let's move the camera a bit.
Oh, I don't know.
Again, you were doing it on the boat.
There's a lot of sand.
There is a lot of sand.
And Madonna's just, she's angry at me. I just want to get it done.
Oh, is this something I can fix?
Oh, it's just personal stuff, mate.
Yeah. Well, why don't we get the guy in the movie? Why don't we get Giuseppe? Why don't we get her to just smack her around?
Well, I was thinking,
would that fix it?
There'd be a near rape scene as well.
I think that's a lot. What? You said near, right?
Near.
Okay.
Implied.
Well, implied.
Vaguely threatening, but meant to be sensual. Oh. Women love that stuff.
Oh, do they?
Yeah.
Should I
use another Stranglers song in this one?
Yeah.
Galton Brown. Yeah. Texture Light
Sun. No, we loved that one scene in Snatch.
Lay me down. Yeah. You know, Jason Statham.
Yeah.
He couldn't play Giuseppe.
He
couldn't do the accent. We tried. Put him in a wig.
Oi, mate, I'm from Italy. You listen here, guy. Right.
Do you want to hear some trivia?
Yeah, why not? IMDb
trivia. When the studio screened Swept Away 2002, for Lena Wertmüller, the director of the original, it is alleged that she left the theater at the end crying out, "What did they do to my movie? Why did they do this?" Which is, I love it.
I'm with you, Queen.
Yeah, we get it. This is to date Madonna's last starring role in a feature film.
Good.
This failure of the film is believed to have killed her acting career.
Yeah. I do think it's fun when actors try to be pop stars and when pop stars try to be actors. Because when it works, it's fucking mind-blowing. It's like, how are you good at both of those things? And when it doesn't work, it's really funny.
Yeah.
Like watching Harry Styles in fucking...
Dunkirk?
No. Because he's
good. He was good in that. He's doing good. But he did very little.
The other one, the Olivia Wilde one. He was fine in it.
Oh, kill your... Don't worry, darling.
Don't worry, darling. Yeah. Yeah. Where he was okay. And then in the middle, they put him up against Florence Pugh in the
That's
argument
not fair.
And he gets fucking cooked alive.
Of course he does. Because Florence Pugh is amazing.
Yeah.
She breathes life into every role.
It's and never I think been it's more obvious that someone can't really act.
Yeah. I feel like there's something about Florence Pugh where she just, it's there's nothing stale about it or rehearsed. It always feels completely
it's so
organic.
Natural.
Yeah. So natural. Like she knows. This sounds silly because all actors should know this, but unfortunately they don't. She really understands the way people move and act and the way they might react and their little idiosyncrasies. Like she always just, her as Amy in Little Women was what a breath of fresh air. Madonna later went on to say, "The way critics take it out on me now is to have a go at anything me and Guy do together. Everyone in England has slagged this movie off without having seen it. Isn't that beautiful? Don't you think that's absurd? But I think the knives were going to come for Guy anyway, even if he hadn't ended up with me. He had too much success with his first two films. That's how the media is. Eventually, they have to pull you down."
Now, see, it's an interesting thing, because
I would agree if Swept Away was good.
Yes!
You know?
Yeah.
If it was a better film, she's got a point.
Yeah, totally. Totally. I mean, we do that with, like, Neil Blomkamp as well. Like, Elysium was just okay after District 9, and we were like, fuck him!
Yeah.
And it's like, give the guy a chance to grow.
Yeah.
It's just, this is pretty bad.
It was pretty bad.
It was pretty
bad. It was. When asked why Madonna, his then wife, was cast, Guy Ritchie reportedly replied, "Because she was cheap and available."
What?
I know he's saying that She was cheap and available as an actress, but don't say this about your wife, ever.
Even as an actress.
She was cheap. How was Madonna? I guess because it's just, it's Guy Ritchie. But
well, yes, she'll work to scale for Guy. Yeah, exactly. You know? But like,
she wouldn't normally be cheap.
It's your wife, man. Go, because she's great. Yeah, right? I love
that's
her.
What I thought. I was like, why wouldn't your first reaction be like, because she's a powerhouse. She's a great performer.
Even if you don't want to lie and say that, just be like, because I love working with her.
Gee whiz, wonder why they didn't work out. Why did they break up? Let's find out.
Because he called her cheap and available to the press.
This is it.
And made her play the biggest bitch in the world.
I just remember when I was like 12 or whatever, and I was reading Total Girl magazine.
Mm-hmm.
There was this like article about Madonna's adopted daughter at the time. I feel like they had a bunch of adopted kids and they were always in Total Girl magazine. Yeah. Ooh, Madonna and Guy Ritchie inside their prickly split. By 2008, Madonna's marriage to Guy Ritchie was bitter. Their split in the middle of an adoption was messy. That fucking adoption. I bet he was like, please, we can't take on another kid right now.
Yeah.
And she was like, you're bringing me down. Oh, apparently Guy was adamant that he was tired of the pace his wife had been keeping since their marriage began.
Wow.
He wanted nothing more than her to take a break. And she seems like a very reasonable. Fine split, very reasonable split of like, we just couldn't keep up with each other's lives anymore.
Totally.
It wasn't like some scandalous thing. Here's my last piece of trivia.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to love it.
Okay.
Italian censorship visa 97119. Yeah! Delivered on the 22nd of May, 2003.
Yeah. Now that's some good old-fashioned trivia.
Do you want to hear some reviews?
Hell yeah.
Reviews! Michelle, this film has 5% Rotten Tomatoes.
Wow.
That's pretty bad.
That is pretty bad.
The site's consensus states, muddled and lacking the political context of the original, Swept Away offers further proof that Madonna can't act. Roger Ebert of the Chicago Sun-Times, who, as I said, called the original film absorbing, and he bestowed a 4-star rating, gave the remake only 1 star. According to Ebert...
I think you mean... Roger Ebert. Yeah, try it one more time. Roger Ebert. Well, I'll do the and then you do the Oja.
Okay. Roger Ebert.
Wow, Abby, so good.
Thank you so much. According to Ebert, despite Ritchie's relatively faithful adaptation, the original Swept Away was incomparably superior. And the remake's fatal flaw was the utterly missing vitality or emotional resonance of the main characters. Additionally, wrote Ebert, Madonna's character starts out so hateful that she can never really turn it around and gain any redemption or believable change. And yeah. I think that's a really good point.
Yeah, absolutely. And that
when they like hook up, she becomes softer with him because she's, you know, attracted to him and starts falling in love with him. But you don't really understand why she's being such a bitch.
Yeah.
Apart from her just saying, well, maybe I'm unhappy.
Yeah.
But it's like you don't find any trauma or...
And like, I don't start rooting for her.
No, the only time I genuinely felt really sorry for her was after that horrible attempted rape scene. Well, not like, you know, when he's just like, no, you say yes and I say no and he leaves. And she's just kind of sitting on a rock sadly by herself, like curled up. I felt sorry for her there because I was like, she looks like she's been... completely like assaulted.
Yeah.
Because she has been.
Absolutely.
She looks uncomfortable and sad.
Also, most of the time and when she gets like kicked over and stuff, I'm like, Jesus.
Yeah, I know. Anyway. Here's I've got some IMDb reviews for you, Michelle.
Ooh,
here's tasty, a yummy. 1 out of 10 review.
Feed me, mummy. Oh, one out of 10.
1 out of 10 review left by Jack-310 on the 19th of May, 2003. And it's just called Terrible. I really wanted to like this movie because the critics have been unkind to it, bracket, to say the least, but it was terrible. Really terrible. Badly acted. A witless script. This is the format I'm working with.
Oh, Jesus.
A witless script. Cack-handed direction. Watching this film was like watching your car crash. You want to look away, but you keep staring because you want to see how messy it's going to get. Well, the car is wrecked.
Oh my God.
And there are no survivors. On the plus side, the cinematography was nice. Made me want to go on holiday, if only to cleanse myself from This Unholy. 1 out of 10. It's like a beautiful poem. It's like a
poem. If I could snap my fingers. Listeners, this is me trying to snap my fingers.
Yes.
That's Abby snapping your fingers.
Yes.
Yeah, snap, snaps. Although, you know what? I wish I came up with cack-handed direction.
Cack-handed direction.
I'm going to use that.
Here's a 6 out of 10 review left by Okteka on the 20th of May 2009 called Madonna Ruins It. Also, can I just say really quickly with these reviews, mm-hmm. and this is what really disgruntled me as well, so many men complained that Madonna looked bad.
What?
She because she wasn't wearing. She looked fantastic. She's fit.
She looks hot.
She's a beautiful woman. Beautiful big blue eyes. Gorgeous hair. Amazing figure. She's hot.
Yeah.
But they were pissed off because she just didn't look like a glamorous. Because she wasn't wearing makeup on the island scenes. I mean, she kind of was, but she looked natural.
She still looked glamorous.
And at that point, she hadn't done like a fuck ton of work to make herself look like the alien she looks like now. Have you seen Madonna these days?
Yeah, it's
her on TikTok is jarring.
It's unsettling.
But back in those days, she was still really natural. I don't think she'd even had lip filler. She just looked like a normal woman that was now what, in her 40s.
Yeah.
But all these guys were like, Madonna looked terrible.
What are they to do? Whatever.
Anyway. This one is
called. They say that immediately after they come. It's because of the shame.
Yeah, honestly. They're coming over her biceps and then being like, she's too muscly.
Just, no.
That's so many dudes that clearly just want a woman to have the body of a 12-year-old boy. But we'll talk about that later.
Yeah.
Madonna ruins it. Good film, ruined by Madonna. Once more, an ordinary plot in an interesting enough film. I particularly liked the European, less polished feel of the film. It was also interesting to see Guy Ritchie working on something other than the usual underworld mobster flicks. He does have a slightly different view, which turns ordinary things to something more interesting. It also has a great summer atmosphere. It smells Mediterranean summer. This is hard to find in films. It's a good romantic comedy to see with a girlfriend slash wife. I gave it a 6 because of poor Madonna. 6 out of 10. I just love it smells Mediterranean summer.
imagine if you were going on a date with someone and they took you to see this movie and they were like, I love it.
6 out of 10.
But still, they're like, great. It was like, yeah, it's not great, but you know, Madonna kind of ruins it. But
it's, do you want to see Madonna so get the good. Shit beaten out of her on this island?
I would get to that bit and be like, what the fuck?
Why did you show me this
fucking movie?
And here's the last review, left by Clyde Benson in 2006, called Simply Incredible, Stupendous, 10 out of 10. Madonna is still a woman who exudes an extraordinary amount of sex appeal. She is beautiful, symmetrical, and it is impossible for me to not have a monster erection
what?
When the camera is on her, even at 43 years of age, as she was in this movie. I can't think of anything better than 2 hours of the camera being on her most of the time. She makes me want to move back to Northern Italy, Aviano, where I lived for over 7 years. Italian women are the finest I've ever seen. Madonna is a great example of what one would find in Italy if they looked hard for a while. She's American.
Also,
she's American.
If you looked hard for a while. So not even that commonly.
And then Clyde... Sweet Daddy Benson, Cape Girardeau, Missouri, 63701, enraptured at charter.net, http://www.aatcm.com/enraptured, www.enraptured.discovermangosteen.com, www.telebay.com/777-573-837-4156. One love, one heart, one destiny. Just like, look at that. That's just nuts. Clyde Benson, you dog.
Postcode, email, and then three links.
Who? I bet no one calls him Sweet Daddy.
Oh, there's a 50-50 chance that's a bit. And either way, great move.
I don't know. The Masterful fact that he said gambit, he lived in Aviano for 7 years is what sold me that he was being serious.
Yeah.
So that was Sweet Daddy's review. What's your review, Michelle?
Well... I mean, on the one hand, like I said, I stand by it is a crossfade in search of a story, and it is, to now use a phrase, cack-handed direction on every level. But on the other hand, there were some Yas Slay Queen lines in the first 20 minutes. So I guess maybe a 2.6?
Yeah. Yeah.
And maybe it should be higher. 3.8.
Yeah.
Why not? You know? Great. I think that's higher than what IMDb gave it. They were a bit. It did look gorgeous. Also,
It did.
Eddie Hamilton cut it. He was the editor for, like, in order: Kingsman,
yeah,
Mission Impossible: Rogue Nation,
yeah,
Kingsman 2, and then what was it? Mission Impossible: Fallout, Mission Impossible: Dead Reckoning, and stuff. I've read through his breakdowns of his, like, post methodology and workflow and stuff for Rogue Nation and Fallout that he did, in particular with Frame.io.
Mm.
And it's fucking astounding. Like, he is genuinely one of the best editors working today. Mm. And he cut this, and I feel like in parts you can tell it's well cut.
It's well cut.
All the technicians did a great job.
They used Fade Into You by Mazzy Star at a crucial moment in the film.
They did. And then they also used... That bit was good. That was
the bit. It was nice.
Then there's, like, the cherry pickup shot.
I thought that was really romantic.
I actually thought that was a great shot.
Yeah, there were bits of this that charmed me, genuinely. And, like, I actually thought it was good in the end that they didn't end up together. I thought that was stronger than just being like, I have to be with you, you know? Like, she leaves him. It's sad.
You know what? 4.5.
Oh,
I've been talked up. I have been.
For me, it's only a 3. No, it's...
What?
No, yeah, I don't think it deserves a 3.6. I don't think it deserves to be this low on the list. I really think it's people hating on Madonna.
It is crazy how low this is.
Yeah, considering the other stuff that we've waded through. Recently, it feels like the movies are getting better. But maybe losing my mind. I don't know. I don't know where I'm at.
Well, but we like this shit.
And maybe someone else will watch it and it's just like this deranged, jumbled garbage, you know, 1.5 hour thing. But to us, it's like cinematic. You know, I don't know where we're at. You.
No!
Yeah.
What the fuck?
Why I'm a like communist. This? You know, and we're like, I'm it's so beautiful.
And a medallion.
So I don't know. But look, I'll match you 4.5. 4.5?
Hell yeah.
We'll make it a deal?
We'll make it a deal. We'll make it a deal. We're shaking hands?
You son of a bitch.
Yeah, all right. Yeah. You got the job.
Great. Well, did you like that, guys? Did you fucking like that, guys?
Did you like that?
Did you like that?
Did you like that?
Oh, I licked the mic. Because guess what?
What?
We're on social media.
What?
Yeah, you can find us on a little platform called X. We're underrated to Sam Pot. You can find us on TikTok. We're underrated to Sandy. And you can find us on what's the last one? It's the email. Rating to sending at gmail.com.
Or you can find me on my own social.
Hit it.
I'm on Insta and I can't believe we're clapping at different times.
On
Insta and X at Michelle.Sinclair. Woo-hoo. And on Letterboxd at MSinclair. Also find Shippers and No Ordinary Love on YouTube at Shippers Series and No Ordinary Love the Series.
Speaking of YouTube, did you know that we're also on YouTube right now? Find us at Rating Descending.
Or if you would please leave us a review, it would really make a difference.
Can you feel the love in the room? If you leave us a review,
it makes a difference.
Really makes a difference.
Really makes a difference.
It really makes a difference. Yeah, yeah, yeah. So what are we watching next week? Don't laugh at me.
I'm laughing with
you're
you.
You're mocking me.
I'm laughing with you because I love you.
I just
you.
Shared my art with you.
I know.
My
I was,
beautiful voice.
I also shared it.
The voice of an angel.
Did you hear? I was part of it.
No, that was a duet. I was just really in it.
What the
thinking
hell?
Thinking about myself.
God damn it. Next week we're watching Dungeons and Dragons.
Oh, yes. And let me just say right up front, we may have a very, very, very special guest for that episode.
And you know what? We've been stingy on the bonus episodes.
Whoa.
But in honor of Dungeons and Dragons.
Yeah. I'm like a quarter Jew.
You're half Jewish.
I'm half Jewish. How dare you? You're pointing at me.
We can't do a bits this long in the wrap-up.
Okay. All right. We've learned that lesson, haven't we? You'll just have to find out who the special guest may be next week.